Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to a very special presentation of the Paula Price Show this evening. Welcome, Dr. Price, once again on a Tuesday night this time to the Paula Price Show. How are you doing this evening?
I'm excited about it. A little bit unusual to be here on a Tuesday night, but I'm certainly glad to be here. And I want to thank everybody for joining me on an unexpected Tuesday to hear what we are doing in near, to hear what God is doing in the future, and I hopefully help us all find our place in the King and in the Kingdom going into 2016 and beyond. And you know, Ashley. Okay, I'm echoing.
You sound good to me.
Yeah, but I'm ringing back to myself.
Oh.
I don't know. Hold on. Okay. Can you hear me?
I can.
All right. Well, I'm ringing back to myself. I can put up with it for an hour because what we want to accomplish tonight is infinitely more important. So let me start by thanking all of you who are joining us this evening on our special Paula Price Show Blog Talk edition, where we're going to talk about what God is doing. I've been mentioning to everyone, Ashley, about how God has given me this new book called Discipling Apostolic Christians. And I kind of got it completely by accident, to be honest with you, as I do everything. You know, I'm going after a pamphlet, handout, you know, cookie strip or something, and God ends up turning it into something else altogether. So he gave it to me, and as I began to write it and completed the writing of it, I began to see what God's heart was and what his concern was, as well as what we, his church, and particularly his apostolic leaders and prophetic leaders are struggling with. So by the time we got through the book, I knew he wanted to call it Apostolic Christians. So I'm going to take a minute to open up in prayer. That's the first thing I want to do, is so that we can give God the glory for this and dedicate this time to him so we can really hear his heart on what we're doing. When you are a true minister and a true messenger, it's God's thoughts and God's heart that takes preeminence over all else. So I want to do that. Afterwards, I am going to introduce my counsel who should be on the line and just listen, you know, get a chance to hear their hearts about where we're going as near 2016. And we've been talking behind the scenes about this particular direction and path that we're taking. So I'm going to open up to them, and then probably before that, I'll give you some backstory on Near, and then give it to them, and then when I come back, we'll talk about the book and talk about how God is going to strengthen apostleship in the future and what we at Near are doing to play a significant part in his plan. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, more than we can say in human terms, but that's all we have tonight. But we bless you. We bless you for being God. We bless you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We bless you for your salvation, your church, your ecclesia, and your ministers. It is wonderful, Lord, that you have counted us faithful to be in this ministry and to serve you in this manner. So we bless you for that. Now, God, I'm asking that you would take over my voice and use it for your glory. Take over the thoughts and express yourself in ways only you can. Now, you know the questions that are in everyone's heart. You know the issues that are on the table in your church and those that are on your desk before you now as we are speaking. And so I'm asking that you address them as only you can. And, Lord, as you do it, to inspire our hope and give us fresh motivation and focus and direction that we can go forth and continue and complete the great work that you've entrusted to our care. I bless you for your wisdom, your insight, your perceptivity, and God, I bless you for your revelations in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, so as I said, in talking about what we're doing here, We're doing a couple of things. Those of you who are members of NEAR already, we're giving you a sneak preview, a peek into what NEAR is going to be doing next year to strengthen our organization, our collaborative, and to empower your churches. And here's a good point, too, to add to all of that, to equip you with a tool that will advance, I think, catapult your apostleship in your area. I'm going to present it, as I said before, the missing link. I think that if we had to talk about any way to coin the phrase, I would say that discipling apostolic Christians is the missing link in God's apostleship agenda. We have that huge missing link, a gaping hole that we didn't know was there. And so to tell you about that, but let's start with NEAR. NEAR was established in 2009. Trust me, I'm not going to go into those long things because we have a whole lot on the internet that you can see. If you are a member, you can go to Yammer and see our story and hear about it. But I just want to give you just a little bit of a backstory so you know how we got here. And so we started in 2009, and we started, of course, when God was in the height of let's get this apostleship movement off the ground. We started as NEAR because NEAR actually stands for New Era Apostleship Restitution. The name came from my research and discovery that apostles, when God kicks up apostleship, it's because he's shifting eras. Now, we can all agree that we've heard over the years, God's shifting, we're in a new paradigm, we're in a paradigm shift. And as we were sitting there, we got excited, the music got loud, you know, people revved up, folks ran around the church, and it was a wonderful experience, but nobody knew what we were talking about. And so we had great worship around it. We had great praise around it. We even had some profound prophecies surrounding this paradigm shift, but we never really were able to put our hands on it and identify it. As it stands today, most of you can agree that the church, at least this part of the church, the apostleship arm of the church, still cannot agree on the definition of the apostle. And the one we have is so long, we can't remember. We need cue cards and flashcards to even tell people what it is. And so as time went on, God began to deal with me about it, and so based on the New Era piece and the Gods and Nations piece, because apostleship is about gods and nations, based on Acts 26:18, and the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. So with those two in mind, we came up with NEAR, New Era Apostleship Restitution. We have been laboring and building and praying until we've reached today. Well, if you're going to have, ours is a collaborative. If you're going to have an organization, you have to decide what it's going to do. NEAR is a collaborative. What does that mean? NEAR, that means that you who are involved in NEAR bring all that you're doing, continue to do it, but instead of doing it alone and hoping everything works out well, we at NEAR give you the benefit of the strength in numbers. And that's what's happening with us as we're growing. We grew quite well. We took a nice giant leap last year and still growing extensively and rapidly as I speak. So we have this collaborative. It's based on New Era Apostleship, and it's for bringing in apostolic and prophetic leaders and ministers as well as now Christians. We ourselves had to go back and get people. And so We're moving forward with this particular campaign, and it is a campaign, and NEAR was raised up to do three things: to guide, govern, to govern, guard, and guide. To guard God's ecclesia, let me get it right, guard, govern, and guide. I'm looking at it and saying it. But to guard God's ecclesia, govern his kingdom, and to guide the future generations. The last one, future generations, is the legacy arm every institution that wants to be around beyond the founder's death must have. You must have a way of passing it on, equipping successors, and making sure that the future generations can keep going forward with what you have. So we understood that. Now, here's what happened with NEAR, though. This is where we had to confront some things. We realized if NEAR is New Era, we can't use old things. And so for, a period of about 3 or 4 years, God kept talking to me about new wine, new wineskin, new garments. Well, first it was just new wine and new wineskins. And then over the last 2 years, he began to add the new garment. And so he said to me, new is new. And so as you're listening to us tonight and as you who are part of NEAR go forward with us, understand that that's not a vanity statement for us. It's not a slogan. It's not a pop thing that we want to do just to trend. New means new. So we are establishing New Era Apostleship Restitution. Well, Now, going there, I want to go into why we have restitution. I know, and I was a part of the early days where it was new apostleship reformation, and then it was apostleship transformation, and then we've got apostleship restoration. Well, you know, most of you know I'm going to do words, and I'm going to research roots and origins of things, and so I did. And one of the things that I found out about the word restitution is that unlike reformation, which is going back to form again, or restoration, which is bringing back to life or value from a demise, restitution includes all of that, but it includes it under the statement of a legal edict. It is literally a legal term. And so in near our term, New Era Apostleship Restitution, restitution being a legal term that where a high authority mandates the repair, the return, the restoration, the reestablishment of something that was illegally taken or used without a legal or lawful authority. So you think about the church. The church has been abducted. It's been abducted by culture. And we don't want to think about it like that, but that's just what happened. While we were there, we were somewhere between being hijacked in the air and abducted on the ground, but it was taken from the grip of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can look at that. We can see that in our legislation. We can see that in the leaders we choose. We can see that in the membership and all of the other deteriorations that have fed into our decline, our decay and decline. So I didn't know when God told me this in 2009, I really did not wrap my head around the legitimacy or the legality of the term restitution. But I kept thinking about it because when you read it in Acts chapter 3, when it talks about the restitution of all things, some translations say, you know, of reformation, etc. But when you understand it, Jesus actually sent those apostles to enforce and enact his legal decree that his people come back under him, his people belong to him, and his people come under his domain. So that is why we are not apostleship transformation. We're not going to do that. That's a factor. That's an outgrowth. We're not going to be apostleship reformation. We're not reforming something that has never even taken form or shape. It has never been established. People still don't know what it is. And we're not going to talk about restoring something that wasn't stored. So we don't have the reformatting going on, and we don't have the restoring of something that never was. This is what God is doing is bringing us back to the apostleship that the Lord Jesus himself brought from heaven to earth. And he brought it not just as a savior, which is what an apostolic Christian is going to appreciate. He didn't just bring it to earth as a savior. He brought it to earth as a sovereign first. He came to save the world. He became a savior when he got on that cross, when he died, went to hell, rose from the dead. But he brought apostleship into the earth as a sovereign extension of his throne, making the church his base on earth. So I said all of that. I know it was a lot, but since I know we're recording this, you'll be able to go back and listen to it and sort it out, and I encourage you to do that. I also encourage you to discuss it with your friends and colleagues and peers so that we can finally bring this thing into the uniformity that will guarantee our unity, because that's ultimately what this is all about. So now that NEAR has been established, we've gotten, you know, our template going, we've gotten our structure, then God says to me, so now how are we going to do this? And this is what I got in the year of 2015, and that is, and the top of 2016, actually, I started writing this last year, the discipling of apostolic Christians. One thing apostles have not developed was a strong discipleship program. And that is what we're going to talk about a little bit later on, that we disciple. Now, the church is accustomed to discipling. We're all accustomed to discipling. We understand what a discipleship means, teaching people the disciplines, bringing them under the yoke of, the obedience of. As a matter of fact, Paul said in Romans 15, that apostleship exists to make the Gentiles obedient. You don't even hear that, but that's what we do. And so that's discipleship. And that's disciplining them in the truth and the word of God. So when you think about NEAR, the first thing I want you to remember is that we're new era. So we're not going to look like everybody else that's out there. New means new. Our language is new for a reason. If you don't change the language, people don't think it's new. People don't think you're doing anything different. The language is new. Our collaborative as opposed to network is new. Our interaction, and our counselor will talk to you about their peace and their awareness of our collaborative mandate. And so that's new. We're not going to have the culture of this world because the culture of this world was formed by demons, and we know that. So we have to, if we're going to honor the legal edict that's on near, then we have to have a new way of living, and we have to live on earth as they do in heaven. And that's what God is looking for us to do. Now, this is a big battle that we're going to face, but it does start with giving the body of Christ the mind of Christ as an apostle does. Now, so here's the last thing I want you to remember out of my explanation, and I hope it made sense to you because I didn't want to use up all of our time going through our history, but here's the last thing I want you to know. Number one, you have got to disciple folks. But number two, every Christian that is born again by the word of God in the Lord Jesus Christ is apostolic, which is why God could say through Paul, first apostles. Every Christian is apostolic because the New Testament is the work, the product of the apostle. It's not the product of evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's not even the product of prophets. It is the fulfillment of prophets. But the whole of the New Testament, the new birth experience, the filled with the Holy Ghost, the gifts manifest, all of those are apostolic. And folks, we allowed it to be taken from us, to be pulled out of our dominion, to be pulled out of our management, our administration, our regulation, and our governance, which is why it's crazy. And so when we come back, we'll talk about that, because then I'm going to introduce you to my book and then introduce you to some of the excerpts of what we wrote in there so that you'll understand why this year all of us who are near and all of you who would like to be a part of near, we'll tell you how to become members of near. All of us who are near will move the body of Christ back under apostleship, starting with the people, because that's who got left behind. All right, so I laid that out fairly quick to make sure we had enough time to move on. So I want to open it up to my counsel, and I would like each counsel person on the line to introduce themselves, their ministry, and share a little bit about the two things that we discussed, being a member and part of NEAR's headship, number one, and number two, our mandate to brand discipling apostolic Christians. Those are the two things I'd love to hear you say something about. And I'm going to start with our charter member, who is Apostle Nona Parker out of Illinois.
Well, God bless you, Dr. Price. It's an honor to be here. God bless you, NEAR, and those who are on the line looking into NEAR, peering in tonight. I am really honored. I'm blessed, and I'm really excited to be a part of this collaboration. I've been a part of NEAR for a long time, since its inception, since it was still in seed form, and I've watched it grow. And I've watched how God has so structured this collaboration, this part of what he's doing in his kingdom. It is truly, a necessary thing that we do here. You know, we all understand, Dr. Price and NEAR, that the church is really at a crossroads. We are at a place where we have to make some decisions and we have to be defining in what we do. I believe that NEAR is a catalyst for defining, bringing the church back into its place of definition, understanding what it is that it's supposed to do, how apostles are supposed to function, and how it is that we are supposed to change the life of the average Christian to understand their apostolic root. Because as you said so eloquently, Dr. Price, the New Testament believer is purely apostolic. I don't care what denominational title they come under. They are purely apostolic in that this church was given into the hands of an apostolic structure and apostles. And so I believe that NEAR is going to be so vital in helping to bring that to the common person so that we don't continue to make this all about apostles and not about the very thing that Jesus Christ came to redeem and have, his inheritance and his people. And so I am excited to be to be a part of this, excited to be in the middle of it, excited to grab a hold of it. And I just pray that NEAR would increase, that its sphere would just go way beyond our Father's expectation, and that really our line would be extended across the globe. Amen.
Bryce, are you still with us?
Yes, now I am. I want to ask Apostle Hallelujah. I want to ask Apostle Stephen Holt to share his thoughts out of the Portland area.
Well, good evening, everybody. Delighted to be a part of the call. Thankful for what NEAR is about. I'll say two things, maybe three. The first one I'll say is I've been a senior pastor for 20 years. And as a senior pastor, one of the things that became extremely disconcerting to me was the amount of consumerism in the body of Christ, that the evangelical model really had developed, shaped, created a great group of people who were self-centered, individuals who were consumed with their healing, their deliverance, a prophetic word for them, a promise, an insight, a revelation for them. But when you began to talk about kingdom, you began to talk about God's agenda, and you began to talk about witness, you began to talk about advancement of the agenda of God, making disciples, a lot of believers saw that as extra credit. You know, that's not what I do. That's what the pastor does. That's what the evangelist does. That's what, there was always someone else. And it's always been a heartbeat of mine to create producers. I don't believe that we are called to be consumers. I believe we're called to be producers. And so it was difficult to communicate within the evangelical model an understanding of what I believe we are called to be about. That Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and following is not the great suggestion. It is the great commission. It is for all of us to be a part of. And so the great thing that NEAR did for me is NEAR crystallized the understanding of what an apostolic Christian is and what an apostolic believer is, that this apostolic believer is someone who partners with God, and that this isn't extra credit. This is who we are. This early group of believers turned the world right side up. They influenced the entire region, and there was a distinction. There was a definiteness. Separate meant separate. Being gods meant being gods. It wasn't this indistinguishable blending in kind of lifestyle. And so when you talk about discipling apostolic believers, I believe it's really about calling us back to being the Book of Acts kind of believers we were meant to be in the first place, that we've gotten far away from, and that we've got a form of godliness and no power. We've got people who are self-consumed. Church success is measured by nickels and noses, how much money you're bringing in, Doc, how many people you got in the pew, Doc, and that doesn't even matter. Because the truth of the matter is, it's how many people are being changed. Those folks in the pew, are they really changed? And then are they infecting and effecting and affecting the region and the realm that they're in? So the excitement for me is that it's been an absolute distinction. It's been an absolute line. It gives new language. It gives simple clarity to what we are to be about. And every person who loves the King and wants to partner with the King and advance the King's agenda, this is the paradigm to use. I know it's a bold statement. I said this is the paradigm to use, not a paradigm. But NEAR and the ministry of NEAR, the message of NEAR, it isn't about the apostle. It is from the standpoint that the apostle was overlooked and left out of the evangelical movement, and to understand the role and the responsibility and the authority and the gift and the dynamic of the apostle. I don't want to go on too long, but it is absolutely vital what this ministry is about as it relates to kingdom placement, kingdom positioning, bringing the King back to the center, reintroducing him to us, reintroducing him to his own people, because many folks who say they know Christ have a rendition of him, they have an opinion of him, they have a perspective of him, but they don't know who he is based on what he said about himself. And so that's what NEAR is from my experience and understanding and my study and my engagement, and I'm super excited to be a part of it.
Apostle Dwan.
Yes. Ashley, how are you?
Your turn.
It's my turn. Very good, very good. This is Apostle Dwan Rollinson. I'm out of Jacksonville, Florida. I pastor the worship place with my husband, Bishop Harold Rollinson, and then I'm also the founder of the Global Institute of Church and Marketplace Prophets. I've been a friend of NEAR since its inception and have just really come into the fold over these last several months. And I think NEAR gives a voice to the people of God and to those who truly want to find their place of flourishing and really their place of purpose here in the kingdom. I think also that NEAR advances not just the fivefold ministry leaders, but even marketplace lay leaders as well, who recognize, you know, their calling outside of the church and recognize their calling within that Great Commission. So I believe, you know, we as apostolic believers are the ones who are setting standards and who are also influencing not just the church, but the kingdom and the world. And I believe that NEAR is here to help us really embrace who we are and who we are meant to be. And so even in that aspect, as you know, as I've listened to everyone, and particularly Dr. Price, you know, the phrase is true, that change is here, and it's a great change, and also that change is necessary, because now we have to kind of reintroduce Christ as King, as Apostle Nona says, not just as Savior, but really introduce him as King. And I think this is a perfect opportunity to do that as we really introduce NEAR to the world.
Wow. Excellent. Very excellent. Excellent. Well, I would be remiss if I did not hear from a couple of our prophets before we go to our we have a commercial, so I want to hear from a couple of our prophets, because apostles make it with the prophets, and if the prophets are not part of that commission will not stand in immediacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be legislative, it'll be governmental, but it won't be revelatory, because you need the fire of the prophet. So I have, I do believe I have Chief Prophet Tyler on the line, and I do think we have our regional prophet out of Portland, Prophet Ulf Spears. If we do, we'll start with Chief Prophet and then move from there.
You know what, Dr. Price? I know Chief is here, and I know she's listening. I need to see if she is connected on her line so she can give her feedback to you. Because, you know, she's troubleshooting. She's doing what she does.
Well, I tell you what, do we have Prophet Ulf on the line? Because I know he sometimes teaches a class that I didn't ask beforehand. But if he's there, we'd like to hear from him. And if not, let's go to our commercial.
You know what? We're going to go to our commercial break then, and we'll be right back after this quick announcement about NEAR. Give you more details.
New Era Apostleship Restitution, or NEAR, is a kingdom collaborative founded by Dr. Paula Price that unites God's New Era ministries, visions and ventures, businesses and professionals in powerful, productive, and profitable ways that are mutually beneficial to all involved. Based on your level of membership, joining NEAR will give you access to assessment-based coaching and mentorship, personal ministry training and education, ministry credentialing and accreditation, spiritual covering and intervention, vision and ministry development, business and professional development, and more. Visit www.joinnear.com for membership and benefits information. That's www.joinnear.com.
Excellent.
All
wow.
right, Dr. Price, and Steve is here.
All right, we will let her give her brief statement, and then I'm going to come back and just share a little bit from the book, tell you how to use it, and then, of course, we want to invite you who are not members of NEAR yet to go where he just said, to join NEAR and become a part of it, because we're releasing the book in e-book form this evening and tomorrow to NEAR members only. So you have to be a NEAR member to access the site to get it. It will be on the open market within the next 30 to 45 days. But right now, we want to give our NEAR members a chance to introduce it to their congregations and also to work with it to prepare the rest of the body for it. So, Chief, you there?
Yes. Good evening, Dr. Price. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to just speak. Of course, you know, NEAR is something that's near and dear to my heart. No pun intended, but it is. And I'm excited about the introduction of this book and where we're going this year as far as our goals. You have talked for years since the resurgence of apostleship started and many people began to, you know, take on the titles and the responsibility and kind of launching out there and taking on the challenge, if you will, of embracing this, you know, foundational office. And the key thrust for you has been about branding it, getting to a place that we can brand apostleship the way the pastor, teacher, and evangelist have become a mainstay for us. You often would start off your conferences on the fivefold talking about, you know, how can you identify, how would you quickly identify a pastor, a teacher, or evangelist? When I say the word pastor, what comes to mind? Immediately people start thinking shepherding and churches and congregation and leading and all of this. If I say evangelist, we think outreach and crusades and tents and preaching and tracts and all of that and deliverance, you know, ministries and revivals. All of those would come to mind. And then you say, when I say, you know, prophet, even we would say, okay, somebody that can predict the future. All right, so that's all we had at the time for that, okay? But when you said apostle, nothing would come to mind. And that was one of the challenges that you took up is that we didn't even have no mental picture of what to associate an apostle with and why we would need them in our lives and why this is more than just a title transfer. Okay, so I'm going to continue to do, you know, what I've done all of the years in ministry as a pastor, but now I'm going to just, you know, maybe have a greater anointing or maybe a deeper word or just maybe a different transfer of title because my church grew or I had a building. But there was nothing really that came into mind for how this mantle impacts and touches the lives of people. And I love that Apostle Holt brought that out, that, you know, you can associate how your pastor touched your life, the person who witnessed to you when you got saved or prayed with you at the altar, you know, all of those things you have an association with when it comes to the other ministries. But when we think about it, it's like, how did this apostle really impact and change my life? We're still trying to define that in a way that's different from the other dispensations that we've all grown up in. So I'm very, very excited about the release of this book because it gives us an opportunity to start having language, but also distinctions of what apostleship is really supposed to do in our lives. And as you said, it's not a turn away from or something new or a new slogan or trend. It's a return back to a foundation that's always been with us and maybe has been misidentified, definitely underutilized, and certainly an unknown factor in ministry before. So I'm excited to see this come forth so that not only apostles can continue to clarify who they are and the impact they need to make in the lives of the people that God's placed under them, but that the people underneath them would know the benefit of having an apostle in their lives. And I think a lot of that's going to come from this book. And a side benefit is those that know that they are apostolic, know that there's something different about them in terms of how they approach God and read scripture and do their ministry from what has traditionally been, being able to identify themselves, and if their ministries or organizations are moving in that general direction, they can safely make this transition without feeling like it's going to cause massive upset to their congregations, which I know is also a underlying motive that you'll discuss later on today for why you want to release this book to actually start shifting the consciousness of the people, getting them to embrace, you know, the change and embrace the dispensation that comes from the apostle so that when the apostle begins to make those migrations into this structure or this new way of doing things, if you will, the people can come along with them in the change. And I think that preserving people, preserving flocks in their shift and change into this next dimension and dispensation God's leading us to is something that is near and dear to your heart and part of the reason why this book is so, so important and can be of value to so many. So I'm very excited about its release.
Well, I tell you, I thank you for those words and that articulation. I must say, listening to it come back from the leaders and the founders of NEAR is bringing joy to my heart So I want to shift a little bit because we don't have a whole lot of time left, but I want to shift a little bit to the book. You've heard quite a few things about why the book was written and what the book is to do. So what do you do with it? Well, the first book, ABCs of Apostleship, was written as a congregational study guide. So as you undertake this book, you want to use this for your midweek study guide, and you want to use it for your leadership training. You also want to use it with your for your ministers, and you want to use it with even with your youth department. When we implemented apostleship, we put our entire church through the ABCs, challenging every level of teacher and trainer we had in our congregation to adapt it to their level. Well, we were surprised. Needless to say, we were not disappointed. And all the way down to the little ones, understanding apostleship. Why? Because guiding the generations. If we wait until the generation is no longer a generation and it becomes a contemporary, then we're missing the point and missing the boat. So when we did this, our youth teacher, youth minister, still, Prophet Adia Peterson prepared an entire presentation, an entire program around the ABCs of apostleship so that the youth department and the youth classes were learning it with us according to their life, according to how they live, and according to how they do it. They came up with some little with some songs and some memory tunes, and it was amazing because we want to shift the church without shifting the people, and you have to shift the people, you know, and because we didn't do that, instead apostleship happened to the body of Christ. And some of you, if we were holding a dialogue, you'd say, yeah, well, that's true. So it happened to us. You went to a church. It was wonderful. You had a great time. You had a wonderful pastor, had a wonderful maybe a pastor's family, first family. It was great. Things were rolling along. Pastor went away on a trip, came back and said, okay, we are now apostolic. Your mind is like, well, what is that? Aren't they all dead? And of course, now you're going to a panic because many leaders do not know sheep panic and frozen sheep. I mean, panic sheep, they either freeze or they fall out. They actually get petrified. They get stiff, fall over, can't even stand up. And a lot of our sheep today are falling over, can't stand up. And so they came, and I was in churches where the pastor just announced it. I mean, half of the leaders didn't even know it or didn't know what it meant. And they said, this is the direction we're going in, like it or not. And if you don't like it, well, you can leave. Don't let the door hit you. And I mean, we did all of that. And those works died and they shrunk. And they happened because we tried to shift, because we so considered the church to be a purely ethereal institution with no natural repercussions for what we do. We came and did what a corporation wouldn't do. There would be a very tactical approach to shifting your organization in another direction. Well, that's part of what I've been doing over the years, and that's part of what this book will do for you. It will give you that opportunity to transition your people and transition your church, but letting your people know, number one, apostleship is first for a lot of good reasons. One being, every Christian is apostolic. If you've got Peter, Paul, James, John, and Jesus up in there somewhere, you're apostolic. If you're reading their writings, if you're praying their prayers, if you're studying their scriptures, this thing was not given to evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It was given to apostles. And so we have a legal right, and we have an archetypical standing on this thing. Now, what we do have to figure out now is how do we do it, because we've all been told that apostles started the church, and now that we don't have the church, we don't need them any longer. Well, that was nice. Wrong, but nice. Because that was based on a regional statement. So we had regional success. We might have had a little regional success in Antioch and a little bit of regional success in Jerusalem and maybe Corinth and a few of the other areas. But globally, that hadn't happened. And so that statement ignores some very important things that have to be addressed. Number one, people live and people die. Number two, churches are born and churches die. And number three, devils don't stop fighting to recoup their losses. Those are the three issues. Let us know that apostleship must be in existence until Jesus comes. It's apostles that turned the world upside down, not the pastors, not the bishops, not the shepherds, not the teachers or the evangelists. Now, Philip did a great job, and I always use this as an analogy. Philip did a great job down there in Ephesus when he went down to do that huge revival that he had. He was amazing. I mean, the whole area got saved, but he was real evangelical. And if you read it, you can read the evangelical tone of it. He read that, he said, we got in, man, souls got saved. All, even the leaders got saved. People came to the altar. I mean, it was amazing. They got saved. They gave up their stuff. They gave up their sin. I mean, even the big man, the sorcerer of sorcerer, Simon, got saved. And, I mean, he wrote back home. It was wonderful. But those apostles were dutiful. They got up. And they got in their little Cadillacs, and they rode on down near to Ephesus. And they said, we have to see what God is doing and if this is real, because they lived in an area where apostleship really was about gods and nations. So they go down there, and Peter comes out, and they inspect. When you research what they did, they inspected that evangelist work. They inspected those salvations. They inspected those sinners' prayers. They inspected those signs and wonders. It was amazing when you really read it. So here we go. They're down there. Listen, because this is powerful. This is very powerful. So these apostles inspected their salvation. You can't stand an apostle and say, somebody, you have no right to tell me I'm not saved. That's our job. Our job is to tell you whether or not Jesus is on the inside or the outside, and whether you got him locked up or whether he's flourishing. That's our job. That is our mantle. That's our mandate. So they did their jobs, and they went down there. And guess what they found out? They found that indeed the Lord had done a great work, and indeed people had gotten saved. It was awesome. But they also found out that Simon wasn't saved. And it took Peter to realize that Simon the sorcerer wasn't saved. He was coming to pick up the devils that are being cast out. But see, Peter was the evangelist. He was excited. People came to the altar. They said the prayer. They sniffed. They cried, rolled all over the floor. But Peter said, hold on. And then the apostle had to come down and give him the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because those spirits, those generation forces were so powerful, it was a tug of war. Now, I use that as an example, and of course, in my training for those that are in my apostleship classes and my commissioning classes, we cover all of this ground. But our job is to inspect the salvation of evangelists. Apostleship was not around to inspect all of these folks who came to all these altars. They were not around. Those people did not have to prove that they had a real piece of Jesus. So all they had to do was get up and say, but I said the prayer. That's all you had to do. Well, now let's look at the fallout. Look at our decline today. Look at how many brands of Christianity today, and I'm not even talking about real Jesus. Look at how many other religions are redefining Christianity. Why? Because the evangelists couldn't tell you if they were saved. They could tell you what happened. It was the apostles that sat with Jesus, and it was the apostles that learned Jesus' signs, and it was apostles that were in Jesus' classes, and it was apostles that were in his leadership classes and in his global restoration and global restitution classes. That was apostleship. And even now with all of these young apostles, they can't tell you who's saved, who isn't saved. We don't even want to talk about all the other things that we have to do. But I just gave you that as something that you can relate to, because a lot of people came down there to really be saved. But they might have needed some deliverance. They might have needed some things cast out. And then they might have needed some good discipleship classes to convert them. This is not to say that everything that has happened in the church was wrong. This is not to say that. But it is to say that if we ended up here, somewhere we went from right to wrong. Because our nation is not trying to do Jesus Christ, because people are not celebrating the church, because people, Christians are back to being beheaded, back to being brutalized and whatever, because the strong men, the apostle and the prophets are the strong men of the church. Jesus Christ said the apostles are the strong men. He said that. He said when a stronger man than they come. So the strong men were gone. And so the kingdom was breached. And when the kingdom got breached, the church got plundered and destroyed. So that's where we are today. Now, I took you that way to give you just a sense of what this book is going to offer to you and what you're going to learn, the dialogue that's going to come out of it, the answers, the repentance. A lot of those people walked down the aisle, said the prayer, and never repented. And the Bible said, without repentance, there's no remission of sin. So that's important. That's important for us to know that. And we need to know whether or not these people are repenting or whether they just apologizing to God to get in his goods. So those are things we should know. Let me just share a little bit about the opening of the book. I just want to read a couple of pieces to you just to tell you, to give you an idea of where we are. This is the preface, and the preface opens up with what is an apostle? Nobody knows. And so an apostle is a sovereign's deputized representative sent to stand in for it in matters pertaining to its official duties and responsibilities. Apostles act on behalf of sovereigns. They act on our behalf. So Jesus wanted to inspect that salvation, that revival down there, you know, and in Ephesus. And so he had to really go in there. What did he do? He sent his strong men in. Because you know what? Philip couldn't do a thing with Simon the sorcerer. But Peter could. And Simon the sorcerer wasn't just David Copperfield doing tricks on the television. He was the head man in the region. Paul, the proconsul, converting those high powers, converting those high authorities so that we can make sure that the gates of hell do not prevail against God's church. So that's something for us to know. So we do that on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. So ABCs of apostleship, shifting for focus. As book two of your ABCs of apostleship training, this study sets aright the church's historical foundations by focusing on apostles, disciples, and not just their audiences and targets. It may well be hailed by some modern apostles and prophets as the missing link to apostleship's wide-scale reinstatement. The link that is missing is the discipleship of apostolic Christians. The reason is that early attention stressed identifying, strengthening, and esteeming the apostles and overlooking discipling those to become part of their commissions. Understandably, though nonetheless, unfortunately, the Apostles' Commission team and congregations got lost in God's revival of apostleship in the contemporary church. Initial reinstatement efforts concentrated too little on those to take plain apostleship to the everyday world and too much on the rank and authority of the apostle. That oversight created an alienating gap between the apostles and their disciples, with those ordained to their work being too confused or too skeptical to shift from their evangelical roots. Designed to shift the 21st century church to new era apostleship, this training will move those chosen from evangelism to apostleship if that is God's will for them. Admittedly, not for everyone saved by Jesus Christ. Those feeling the tug of the new, who are tired of the nuisance of the old will find this process invigorating and arming. It promises to bring apostleship long overdue kingdom dignity. It will also motivate believers to cooperate with what the Lord has been pursuing for the last several decades. After all, without the people, apostleship is empty. It takes discipling after their own kind to validate apostles and to staff and support their commission. Therefore, going through this material and completing its exercises will surface the same apostolic Christian in you. Over time, you will find yourself becoming like the Christians of the early church. Completing it will bring you more in touch with Jesus Christ as sovereign and savior than ever before. The activity, tasks, and exercises are to enable you to transition into apostolic Christianity as part of the Lord's new era apostleship restitution campaign. Other valuables adding to this training's success are the rapid, solid conversion of contemporary Christians to apostleship. That is the first initiative of new era apostleship restitution. So go, make apostolic Christians, lots and lots of them. That is our preface. That is our beginning of this, and it's also how we're going to brand near. We have to, you know, this is the ignition. This branding right here is the ignition. This is how we will trigger what God wants to do and bring the entire body of Christ along, you know. And so I really want you to know that as we go forward, and if possible, I don't know where we are in time, but if possible, we might be able to get a couple of questions from a few of you all. But I wanted to give you this as a foundation and to give you what I believe is the apostles and prophets' challenge and task for 2016, you know, and because people have to buy into what you're doing. People have to buy in, and they can't buy into something that they feel like they're left out of, and that's what's been happening. And so everybody, the reason we had so many people saying that they're apostles is because they didn't know what was going on. They didn't want to be left out, so the only way they knew how to jump in was to say, I'm an apostle. Now we give them there's something between that. There's something between the pew and the apostles' office called apostolic Christian. And we now are empowering people to be okay filling that layer, apostolic five folders, as Apostle Holt likes to say, and apostolic ministers and apostolic leaders, because you cannot have a commission that you haven't converted. And so as you're getting your questions ready, I want to close on this one statement. There are a lot of reasons why apostles don't make it. Truly, there are tons of reasons why their churches don't make it, and very few of those reasons have to do with the apostles themselves or what they did wrong. Very few of them did. And you know why? Because they didn't realize that we became apostles. The leaders became apostolic, but we never made apostolic pastors or evangelists, etc., in mass. We had a few people who did it, but in mass. So what happens is the apostle goes out, plants a church, and the church is doing well as long as the apostle's in your own. I'm going to put a pastor over it. Well, this is not like the, it's not too different either, but this is not like the beginning when the church first started, that, you know, you had the Jews under Moses or you had the Jews under Jesus, still Jews. And so you did not have anything that had already succeeded in the new. So you had a 100% convert to Jesus Christ. Today, that's not the case. So now they go and they put a pastor over, and the pastor is still evangelical. So what do you have? You have the familiar structure, the familiar anointing that those people were used to, that the minute that apostle leaves, the people go back to, because the pastor is going to be a shepherd. And the pastor is going to be a shepherd that's all about winning souls and making people feel comfortable in Christ, not so much about growing and all of that. So then the apostle comes back 2 years from now, the people don't want to let him in. Or the people have so forgotten about who they are, it is exactly what they started. The people 100% reverted back. That is a reality that the Lord Jesus, by his Spirit, let Paul know about, because in 1 Corinthians 12, it says the structure is first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. That's the foundation of the new creation church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers. Didn't say pastors. Pastors don't come until later on down the line. Why? Because you have to be brought under the governance and the dominance of the king first. Because if the king is not preeminent, everything else you do will not matter, because you will be an institution that's going away from him instead of into him. Ashley, you can open it up for some questions. If any of you have questions, we have a few minutes, or comments. We have a few minutes. We'd love to hear from some of you on the line. I understand that we have somewhere around 100 or more of you on the line. So I know we're not going to get but one or two questions, but let's praise God anyway and see who we can get through. Who would like to ask a question or to make a comment?
Okay, Dr. Price, there are some people who have actually just pushed a button, and I have not been able to get to them, so we can do this the unconventional way.
Oh, Lord, that first come, first serve?
Pretty much. And so here's what I'm going to do. Let me see. We have some callers here I'm going to do it this way. There's a caller who pressed a button. Their last four digits are 2010. I would like for you to say your first name, the state you're calling from, and your question for Dr. Price.
And mute your phone. Mute the background noise.
Whoop. And they're gone.
Okay. Anyone else? Any other questions or comments?
Let me see. There's just really one other person who has pressed for the number one. Because I think everybody was calling really to hear you tonight.
Well, I did my part. All
and
right.
You did it well.
I did it well. Okay. Well, then what I'm going, you know, I don't prolong anything. You know me, I don't try to act like I am the Holy Ghost. So what I want to do is I'm going to do two things. I'm going to wrap this up by encouraging you. If you are near, go to, I don't know when Prophet Adia will have it on, but I'm sure we'll send you notifications for when it's posted. You should be able to get it sometime tomorrow or not long after that. So I want you to go to your site if you're near and order the book. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to act apostolic and not acting like you belong to one of Mother Deities. Do not download one copy and give it all to your people, because that's not setting a good example for them, and it's not making them buy into your vision. So everybody who's going to be in your congregation's class need to go and get their own copy of the book, besides the fact that they need to write in it, and the only way they'd be able to do that is if one or two people downloaded it and copied it and handed it out. If you have people in your church who are doing that, I'm going to ask you on your honor to stop them and to realize that they cannot rob anybody else's harvest and expect God to protect theirs. So I will say that to you. So, but tomorrow they'll be available, and all the way till we get to about somewhere around mid-March or so, it's going to be at this introductory price, which is online, and we're going to limit it to our near members. Now, that brings me up to my second point before we close out of here. If you are interested in becoming a member of NEAR, as you heard in our commercial, go to www.joinnear.com. When you get there, we have a full site that will tell you how to become a member of NEAR. You can become a member as an individual. You can become a member as a church. You can become a member who just wants to get information. You can become a collaborator, or you can be become under our covering. It is your choice. The options are there for you when you get to www.joinnear.com. Well, I have said all I need to say on the matter, and if no one has any questions, I did ask. Didn't I ask? So, Apostle Nona, didn't I ask?
And you know what, Dr. Price? Chief Prophet said she had a question for you.
Oh, yes, she would. Come on, Chief, ask me. We get one question before I go.
Okay, I think a question that I would have if I'm going to invest in this book, and I am an apostle that wants to raise up fruit after my own kind and the mantle that God has for me, what would be some outcomes that would let us know that we have effectively converted someone to the apostolic, like we really kind of discipled or made, if you will, an apostolic Christian versus other Christians out there? There's some demarcations, some clear signs and of distinction that we know that has passed on to an individual.
Thing that you will notice about an apostolic Christian is that they are stable. They're very stable people. They are learners. They are knowledge seekers. And they are also people who want to know the meaning, the root, and the outcome of a thing. Knowledge is very important to God, so it's very important to apostolic Christians. So they're very knowledgeable, they're very stable. The second thing they are is orderly. Order, they understand and appreciate divine order. That's a big deal for them, that things are in order, but that they are even in order in their life. The more you grow in God, the more you learn of God, the more your life comes into order. But beyond that, they have a unique interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks to them differently. He leads them and guides them differently because it's based on him. And let me give you an example of that interaction. The difference between the two would be how Paul could write to the Hebrews versus how he could write to the Corinthians. That's a major comparison. That would be us today. Paul could talk about those spiritual things. And even with the Hebrews, he had to kind of chide them a little bit. But he started at the top of the bottom, not the bottom of the bottom. And so you would make that understand that they would be very revelatory, very perceptive, prone to real pragmatic wisdom, and not in need of having to be chided into doing what they know God deserves. To that apostolic Christian, God deserves this. He deserves my devotion. He deserves my fidelity. He deserves my sacrifice, my strength. And those are not things that they come out the gate doing, although a lot of them are that way naturally in preparation for their calling. But it is something that comes from that apostolic Christian being developed. And the last thing, which I think if the last should be first, the last thing that you'll notice is that Jesus' sovereignty and dominion is important. And they're very jealous about his holdings. They're very jealous about his possession and very zealous about taking care of what is his. You know, when I think about what Apostle Halt said just a little earlier, you know, about how, you know, and all of the council pretty much echoed the same thought. Yeah, but, you know, that last move was all about, it was all about our flesh and all about our own desires and our own desserts, and but not with an apostolic Christian, because we are kingdom residents, and we are residents of a king that we know is always under attack. And because he's always under attack, we see our part as having to do that guard, govern, and guide. So did that help you? Did that, you think that made the point?
Yes, I did, because I like to have those distinctions, because I know that even for us, when we were, when you were referring back to the ABCs of Apostleship 1, and we were also, I know it'd be hard for people to believe, but making that definitive break and transition into the apostolic from the evangelical, there were some key things that you instilled in us to help us know and understand why we were different. You know, embracing the sovereignty piece, recognizing that as apostolic Christians, we were concerned a lot with the protection, the guardianship, the defense of the kingdom. We were into putting the king's interests first, you know, wanting to give God that level of excellence. And, of course, you know, upholding those basic standards of righteousness and holiness and truth, and that being paramount, not just as a as we walk devotionally, but really in terms of our responsibility to the kingdom and keeping it and maintaining it, caring about its perpetuity. I think one of the most phenomenal things that you said to us and that kind of just broke through my world was taking ownership of the kingdom, mm-hmm. and not mm-hmm. just seeing it as it's God's kingdom. And you said, no, it's our kingdom. If we are his offspring and we are joint heirs with him, then we have shared joint responsibility for making sure that the kingdom stands and is protected and is perpetuated accurately from generation to generation. And it flipped my mindset, you know, very quickly into taking on that ownership and caring about the perpetuity of it, seeing to it that God gets the fruit and results from it that he's looking for, really partnering and co-laboring with him, buying into his vision. Because, you know, of course, you know, when I was at school and I was at ORU, everything was about your vision, you know, in your ministry and your vision for the kingdom, but buying into his and buying into what he's trying to achieve, and that really beginning to separate us in terms of what we felt like our responsibilities were to the kingdom of God, beyond just loving people and loving our neighbors and, you know, sharing in our communities, which are great, but caring about what happens to God, the king, first, and then what happens to his kingdom. So I just really appreciate that.
Well, you know, when you take out the kingdom is up for grabs, and it falls in the hands of brute strength. And that's important, because the church has been under brute force even as we speak. And I do want to say to you, you know, we will probably have more talks like this as you're going through the books. It is my hope to be able to co-teach this with you all. I'm trying to work that out so that I can be there to do that. But the biggest thing we have to know is apostolic Christians, right, are balanced by responsibilities. We don't have an entitlement mentality, because somehow or another we know that God paid a dear price to bring us into his life and his kingdom. And the last thing on my closing remark on this statement is, when you are an apostolic Christian, you are also very prophetic. The word of God flows in apostolic houses, if they are real apostolic houses. Now, if they are traditional and institutional ones, that's a whole other thing. I can't speak to that. One of the reasons that I use the word apostleship more than apostolic is to make that distinction. But apostolic Christians, God talks to them. I mean, if we can't get through, he'll break through because of our teaching, because we as apostles awaken people's spirits and awaken their psyche to God in ways no other officer can. So I thank you all for joining me tonight. I thank you for listening to what we had to say and how we're saying it. And I, again, encourage you to become a part of us, to join NEAR. If you are a pastor or another minister, knowing that God is shifting your organization, join us and use us, our experience, use our skills to help you shift your people with minimum loss and minimum setback. So, Father, we thank you. We give you praise for sharing this tonight and for watching over it, and asking that you would get your glory out of us. And what needs clarity, God, I'm asking that you would make clarity where it applies to every listener. I'm asking you to speak to their heart and mix it with your wisdom in their heart, answering the things that only you and they know our questions, and I bless you for bringing it in, increasing near, and blessing the people who listen to us tonight in Jesus' omnipotent name. God bless you all. Good night.
New Era Apostleship Restitution, or NEAR, is a kingdom collaborative founded by Dr. Paula Price that unites God's New Era ministries, visions, and ventures, businesses, and professionals in powerful, productive, and profitable ways that are mutually beneficial to all involved. Based on your level of membership, joining NEAR will give you access to assessment-based coaching and mentorship, personal ministry training and education, ministry credentialing and accreditation, spiritual covering and intervention, vision and ministry development, business and professional development, and more. Visit www.joinnear.com for membership and benefits information. That's www.joinnear.com.